a problem with the colour last year, isn't it?
Moni Rabbeisai, our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dobin Chayne, Shtav refuah Shleim Vikorev, Pesach Shalchon Yisro. So just a brief word about Parshas Korah coming up this week. Parshas Korah every year is approximately 3 weeks before Pesach, which makes you think, you know, Yontov's nearly here. Approximately 3 weeks before Pesach, and the reason why Parshas Korah is always the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is always either on Rosh Chodesh or the first Shabbos immediately after Rosh Chodesh. So Shabbos is always Parshas Korah is always the penultimate Shabbos in Chodesh Adar. And the reason is because a person needed 7 days in order to be Matai himself if he was a Tomei Meis. And therefore it was to warn people, it was to announce and to warn people, make everybody aware, Pesach is coming. When you're going to bring a Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, on Erev Pesach you need to be Tohor, you need to be Torah Meist, a Torah Meist cannot enter the Azora, and cannot bring a Korban Pesach, and therefore everybody should know to be Matar themselves, giving you plenty of warning, to be Matar yourself, because you need time to travel to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim as well. So the people who live the furthest away, live 2 weeks away, they need a week to be Matar themselves, 2 weeks to travel to Yerushalayim, Erev Pesach, I'm in Yerushalayim, and I'm Tohar. The people could be Matar themselves in their hometowns, and then travel Tohar to Yerushalayim, or they could travel Tomei to Yerushalayim and be Matar themselves if they got to Yerushalayim a week earlier. Okay, so in the Parsha of Parsha's Porah, which tells us about the Hazor in order to be how to be Matar, a Tomei mace, that's the first Parsha in Chukas. And the Parsha has three sections. There are three sections in the Parsha. It's quite a long Parsha. And there are three sections in it. The first section is how you make the Efer HaPorah. The Koyen, the burning, the Korban, whatever it is, yeah? The making of the Efer Porah is the first part of the Parsha. The second chelik of the parsha, is about how you become a Tomei Meis. In other words, who are the people who need the hazor of Porah Adumo in order to become Torah? How do you become a Tomei Meis? The chelik aleph of the parsha is how to make the Efer HaPorah. The whole procedure with the coin, etc. The second part chelik is the of, and then. After what is normally sheni, you have the dinim of the hazo'o. In other words, how does the kohen actually sprinkle the water with the efer haporah over the tomei in order to become tohar? Three sections. So normally, if you're in a bal kohen, will know this. Yeah, very often the person who has an aliyah, if he knows where the end of the aliyah is, you can already tell him getting ready. You can always feel that he's getting ready, he's getting his tzitzis ready in order to kiss the Sefer Torah, or whatever it is, yeah? You know, if you're going to finish off a parsha, everybody knows, and he's already got his tzitzis ready and about to do it, if he knows where the soft parsha is. You'll get that very often in Parsha's Porah, yeah? Everybody knows that sort of little song of Mayim Chayim El Keli, which is normally sheni, but it's not the end of the parsha. At the end of the Parsha carries on for another, I don't know, another 10 Pesukim or something like that, I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, the Parsha carries on until the end of the Parsha, of the whole Parsha to do with. So the question is, what happens if a Bal Koyra made a mistake and he finished off a Nosan Alof Mayim Chaim El Keli, and then the person made the second Brocha, and then some member in the audience said, hey, you finished too early, you're supposed to have carried on beyond that. That we'll discuss tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Started the Torah in Northwest London Tuesday, Yud Ches Adar, 18th of March, from by Alex Hulschlitzer. Why is the Western Wall not West? This week's Torah is sponsored by Mr. Yecheskel Evet, the person of Mitzvah of Menachem Evet Nerior. He wrote in Shehorov, Ushino Rav Nachas, Menem Kon Yatekel Atayim, Yisus Hashem, Vahay Chalim, Vahay Milchamor, Shafil Vatem, Nisholem, Bim Heiro.
Good morning, everyone. Last time we
spoke about the Kosel Maharavi. Where is the Kosel Maharavi? And we came to the conclusion that the Kosel Maharavi, the present day known Western Wall, was actually built by Shlomo HaMelech. But however, we did suggest that the Western Wall as we know it today was actually not the wall which actually went around the 500 amos square of the Beis HaMikdash. There was actually a supporting wall which Shlomo HaMelech built in order to support the walls of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The actual
building the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, yeah, what is called Har HaBayis is the square 500 amos. So this wall of Shlomo HaMelech was beyond the 500 amos, and that supported the walls which went around the 500 amos square. Now, where is that western wall of the 500 amos square? We suggested, based on calculations of the amos, knowing where the eastern wall is, because the remnants of the Shara Kohen are still present today, still extant, and we just measured 500 amos westwards till we got to where should be the western wall. And actually, we arrived at the staircase leading up. I don't know if you know the Ramah. There's a platform on the top of the Temple Mount, where next to the Dome of the Rock, and there's stairs leading up to the Dome of the Rock. And the top of the stairs, that's where we calculated where the Western Wall should actually be lying. A quick update. Since then, I was in contact with a Gentile researcher who actually happened to be on Temple Mount, and I asked him if he didn't mind taking a few photographs of the area, if I could confirm if there any kind of indication that there's a wall at the top of the stairs. My understanding was that the top stair was actually the top of the western wall of the Beis HaMikdash. So he did that for me, and he took a number of photos. And it was very interesting to discover that the top stair is different to all the other stairs coming up, and also to the platform as well. It's a completely different formation of stones. It's a row of stones, much wider than the others, so the widest one below and the widest from beyond, and it's in a straight formation, whereas all the other stones, the platform is like a normal sort of house when you have a building in, sort of going in, going out, that kind of formation of stones, of stone laying. But this particular row is just one line of formation, and it's also much wider than all the other stones, and longer as well, which does indicate that what they have done is they've actually used the wall of the Beis HaMikdash as the top of the stairs, and they've just continued making the surface with other stones, and they made the stairway going up towards the top. So the top stair does seem to indicate that it may well be the Kosel Maharavi. Okay, now this Kosel happens to be aligned with the Kosel Maharavi as we know it today, the Western Wall. Now, there's a big problem with this. The Kosel Maharavi is the Western Wall, right? So, but it should be in the West. So if you have a person standing and he's around him, there's North and South, and there's West. North, South, and West and East. So you have, that's the horizon. So if we make a North and South, north and then south, and then the west is is to my right, and the east is to my left. The western wall should therefore, if it's in line with the Ribua Shel Olam, the north, south, and west and east of the world, it should be along the north-south direction. So here should be the western wall. Here would be the eastern wall. Here's the western wall. The northern wall would be over here, and the southern wall would be over here. Now, we know where north is and we know where south is. So we know exact measurements where the western wall should be aligned. But when we take measurements of the western wall, as we know it, it's actually not aligned. It's actually 10 degrees off the north. 10 degrees is a big deviation from the true north. Now,
how much is it in size?
It's degrees is like you take a circle, you do 360 degrees. So 10, if you imagine a circle going around 360 degrees, so how much 10 degrees would be of that circle? It is a sizable, it's quite sizable. Now, at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, as far as we know, they hadn't discovered compasses yet. So it was difficult to ascertain where the actual north-south direction is. Yes.
If the Harabai is a square,
yes,
then all of the walls would be 10 degrees out.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. If one wall is square, if one wall is out and the Beis HaMikdash was square, so it's going to be lopsided. It's going to be, well, let's put it like this. If it's like this, so the whole square would be lopsided, yeah. Now, it does seem to...
From Leitz and also from Shkia, could they work at 90 degrees to that, even if they didn't have a compass?
Right, yes, but it would be difficult to know because the sun is not always in the same place where it starts.
10 degrees is a big deviation, even if they were using the sun.
It's a very big deviation, but it is hard. It's not so it's not so simple to be able to work out from just from the sun, but since the sun moves throughout the year, to be able to get the exact point of where the northeast direction is not so easy.
In Egypt, they build the pyramids and then know exactly the directions there.
Yes, right. Yes. That is the point. Is it? That we
all
see
the
from
buildings from that time roughly at the same accuracy of up to 10 degrees, or is this?
Well, the pyramids were way before the Beis HaMikdash, and we know now that they were extremely accurate. So they had ways of working out the precise north-south direction. So it is quite astounding that Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, would not have known how to make an accurate measurement of the Western Wall. Now, it does seem that the Yerushalmi actually held that they did not manage to... they tried, but they did not manage to get the right angle for the wall. How do we see this? Because Yerushalmi says that the Nevi'im Rishonim, when they came up to the base of Megdash HaSheni, they ma'od tarchu, they troubled themselves tremendously in order to be able to arrange that the sun should rise and the sun should set precisely according to the north-south direction of the wall. And the fact that the Yerushalmi says that the Nevi'im troubled so much, so tremendously, in order to try and get the north-south wall in the right direction, indicates that the Yerushalmi had this problem that the wall was not in the right place. It's not in the right place. This is because how does the Yerushalmi know that they spent so much time trying to work it out? Everything was pinvoir, so one would have thought they could have been told precisely, this is where you build the wall, like they knew about where the Mizbeach was. So how did the Yerushalmi know that they spent so much time trying to work out where the north-south direction is and to build the wall? Evidently, because the Yerushalmi saw that the walls are actually off by 10 degrees. So the Yerushalmi concluded that evidently they troubled themselves a lot to try and get there, but they didn't manage. However, although that is the view of the Yerushalmi, the Bavli, Talmud Bavli, Numa, and Numtes says quite explicitly that the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were extremely straight. And according to one Gersa, a north-south-west wall in everyday life was also extremely straight. Ad kedei kach, that at chatzos hayom, what happens is that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So when the sun gets to noon, midday, when it's in the center of the sky, then the Gemara says, then if you have a very straight wall between in the north-south direction, when it's just above the wall, it will cast a shadow on the western wall, because that's when it goes over to the west. If that wall was slightly deviated, so the shadow will be cast as soon as the sun gets to the line of that wall. So if the line, if that wall is like this, so as soon as the sun gets to above the wall, then it will cast a shadow on the wall. And the Yerushalmi says that at noon, precisely, the walls were so straight that the shadow was only cast at the moment when the sun reached the middle of the sky at noon. So even according to the Girsah of Rabbeinu Hanana, it was the Beis HaMikdash walls which were very straight. According to Rashi's Girsah, all the walls of any houses and any buildings around were all extremely straight, extremely precisely planned and aligned in the north-south direction. So what happened? Why is the western wall 10 degrees off the north-south direction? Okay, well, there's another question, a very major question, on that same Gemara in Yuma. Rabbeinu Hananel says, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, this was his Girsah in the Gemara there, that the walls were extremely straight of the Beis HaMikdash, but the shadow was only cast on the western wall at 6:30. Sheish Shoros Umechsa. Now, what is Sheishat? If we split the day up into 12 hours, so we start at net and we finish at Shkia, so the end of the sixth hour is going to be when the sun's in the middle of the sky. Half an hour later, the sun's already in half an hour into the west, right? It started on its journey towards setting. And the Yerushalmi says, according to the Gemara says, according to the Girsah of Rabbeinu Hananel, that at 6:30, when the sun was over here, as it were, then there was a shadow cast down on the western wall.
6:30, half an hour after midday.
Half an hour after midday, yes. And that's when, because Yerushalmi said, because the walls were so straight, they were so straight and aligned, that at 6:30, that's when the first shadow on the western wall was cast. Now the Tosafot says this is denying the Metzias. This is against all physical facts we know today. We know that when you have a wall aligned precisely in the north-south direction, then a shadow will be cast precisely at the time of noon. The reason being is because when you have a sun directly above this line, this will the top line, the chudo of this wall, will stop the light from getting to that part of the wall, and therefore there will be a shadow.
I understand, but sorry.
Sorry? Yeah.
If the sun is immediately above, yes, shining straight down,
yes,
there should be no shadow on either side. The sun should be shining on the top of the wall.
On the top of the wall. It won't come all the way down. When you have a light directly on top, it will hit the top of the wall and won't be able to go down. In order to go down the wall, it's actually beyond the wall. If it's precisely in line with the wall, the chudosh shel the top of the wall will stop light from getting to that side of the wall. So that second of noon is going to be a shadow because it's just got past. Only light can only send rays in a straight line. If the light gets to the top of the wall, this is the top of the wall, the light can shine over here, it will stop here. It will, in order to shine light on this side of the wall, it has to be slightly to the east in order to shine. Okay, but either way, a few seconds later, definitely. So how can it be that the Gemara says that half an hour after noon, only then a shadow will be cast on the western wall? This actually can be explained because through Rabbeinu Hananel somewhere else. Rabbeinu Hananel tells us in Psochim, what is the definition of noon? There is no word for noon. In the Torah, we find what is described as noon is Bein Horabayim. Bein Harabayim. Rashi tells us, Rashi explains it means, literally like we would understand, it means noon, midday, when the sun moves over to the west. Bein Harabayim. It begins to... Sorry? Bein Harabayim begins in the... Well, when do we... The Korban Pesach, the Zman for Shechting the Korban Pesach, is Bein Harabayim, we're told. And Bein Harabayim begins at noon, midday. From midday onwards, that's called Bein Harabayim. Rashi says it's between the first Erev, is when the sun moves over and starts casting a shadow from the west, and until the final, when it finally sets, and that's the real Kilu Erev, as between the two Erevs, between noon and nightfall. And that period is called Bein Harabayim. And therefore, that is the time when we can shech the Korban Pesach. This is how Rashi learned. However, Rabbeinu Chananel in Psochim says a different explanation to the word Bein Harabayim. He says Bein Harabayim means between the two nightfall, between the two Erevs. Because Erev, we know, I hear Erev, I use Voker, you hear me sure? Where Erev means night. And when it says Bein Harabayim between the two nights, what does it mean between the end of last night and the beginning of tonight? That is called Bein Harabayim. But the halfway mark between the end of last night and the beginning of night. In other words, it's half the day. Now, half the day is not actually at noon. It's not actually when the sun's in the middle of the sky. Why is that? We know that the astronomical day begins at net, sunrise, and finishes at sunset. But the halakhic day starts before sunrise and ends after sunset, but not equally. How long before sunrise the halakhic day begins? Alos HaShachar, which is roughly about 72 minutes, according to many calculations, before sunrise. That's when Alos HaShachar, that's when the halakhic day begins. When does the halakhic day end? Not at sunset. According to most shittot, which we pass going to be halakha today, it's roughly quarter of an hour after sunset. This is the view of the Gaonim, that Shalosh Reve Mil, the Shia of Shalosh Reve Mil, after sunset is when finally nightfall arrives. So, if we have a symmetrical day between sunrise and sunset, and we add a section to the day before, 72 minutes before sunrise, and we add a smaller section, quarter of an hour after sunset, so the halfway mark will not be at noon, because we have to divide those two, the 72 and the 15, and split that into two, and that will be, it's roughly half an hour before noon, will be the halfway mark, the halakhic halfway mark. In other words, the time between Alos HaShachar, dawn break, and nightfall, halfway mark, in other words, Bein Harabayim, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, between the two nightfalls, the halfway mark of the day between dawn break and nightfall will roughly be a half an hour before the sun is in the middle of the sky. So this is what Rabbeinu Chananel is telling us. Rabbeinu Chananel is actually telling us exactly what we see. That the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were extremely straight. They were extremely straight. And because they were extremely straight, it said it would take time, half an hour, it would take half an hour before the walls would be cast a shadow. Why would it take half an hour before the walls would cast a shadow? Because at 6 o'clock, it would still, if the wall was straight, then it would be able to at 6 o'clock. But if we have a half day mark, which is half an hour before, then that will be actually at 6:30 is exactly the time when the shadow will be cast on the western wall. So we have a wall here, a western wall, which is 10 degrees at an angle off the north-south direction. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, this is precisely the line which will tell us when the half day, when the halachic half day is. This is precisely the line which will tell us when the half day is. Because it's not going to be at 6 o'clock noon when the sun's in the middle of the sky. We need to know when Beinu Arba'im is. We need to know when the half day mark is, and that's half an hour before noon. So the walls had to be put at an angle so that when the sun rises, comes to Bein Harabayim, the halachic Bein Harabayim, it will cast a shadow onto the wall, at precisely the time of the halachic Bein Harabayim. Now it happens to be that 10 degrees, if you align a wall 10 degrees away from the north-south direction, this will be precisely the time when the sun will cast a shadow at half day, halakhic half day. The halakhic half day is actually 33 and a half minutes before noon. Throughout the year, 33 and a half minutes before noon, the sun will vary in degrees. But the earliest day in the year where the sun will cast a shadow at noon, a halachic, a Bein Arba'im, where it's 33 and a half minutes before noon, will be precisely when the sun is 10 degrees before reaching to the top of the sky. So 10 degrees is actually the line which marks out the Bein Arba'im of the Torah. Now this was not just by the Western Wall. In the Dome of the Rock, there's actually a massive stone, which according to the Radvaz, identified as the Evan HaShasiyah. And what's quite amazing is within this stone, it's really big. It's talking about 17 meters by 30 meters width and 3 meters in height. Part of the stone has been hewed out a square, a formation of a square from this stone, and this square is precisely in the aligned to the square of the Beis Hamikdash based on the Western Wall. Otherwise, it's a lopsided square. The square, if a north-south scale, should be like this, but as we saw, the Western Wall is 10 degrees out. And if you continue to make the square of the Harabais, you'd get a lopsided square. This lopsided square is precisely the square aligned in the actual the Evan HaShasiyah, in the stone of the Dome of the Rock. So it would seem that this was actually indicated and hewn out by whoever at the time of the Nevi'im Rishonim, the second Beis Hamikdash, to be able to tell us for the future when we want to build the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, to be able to know how to build the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. That the walls of the Beis Hamikdash are not in the north-south direction, but they're actually 10 degrees off. The reason why they're 10 degrees off, because they have to be aligned to align us with when the sun arrives at the halfway mark of the halachic day, between dawn break and nightfall. The reason is because when we consider Ma'arav, what does Ma'arav mean? We have a term for north, Tafon. We have a term for south, which is Daron. But we don't have a term for west. Ma'arav is a Lashon Erev. Now we have a term for east. Also, we have Kedem. We also have a term for east, is Mizrach. So Mizrach tells us, the word Mizrach is a Lashon Zricha, because it's the sun, it's where the sun comes from. So the side where the sun comes from is the Mizrach. Ma'arav, what's Ma'arav? Ma'arav is the side where the sun goes towards evening. So, if you're talking about an astronomical day, the time when the sun goes over to the Ma'arav, in other words, goes over to the second half of the day, is when it passes over the north-south direction, because that's when it's the astronomical day, afternoon, then it moves over towards the setting of the sun. And therefore the Ma'arav will be precisely in the north-south direction. But according to the halakhic day, since the dawn break begins 72 minutes before and ends quarter of an hour after sunset, so therefore the halfway mark will be half an hour before noon. And that is the Kav HaMa'arav. That is when the sun moves over towards setting. It's because it's moved over to the second half of the day. And this is the Ma'arav, which the Torah says, when the sun crosses that line, the line where it will move over to the second half of the day and head towards nightfall, that is the Ma'arav of the Torah. And naked that is the Mizrach of the Torah, and perpendicular to that is the north, and perpendicular to that is the south. And therefore, that is why evidently the Beis HaMikdash walls were set at an angle of 10 degrees. Now this has many, many implications according to Halacha. Number one, Afikomon, we know, has to be at Chatzos. But when is Chatzos? If you take the astronomical Chatzos, that we see on the Luchas, they'll tell you the astronomical Chatzos, but that's not the Bein HaRabayim, it's not the Chatzos of the Torah. And the Chatzos of the Torah, it corresponds to the Bein HaRabayim of the day. It's the Chatzos Lilo, it's always 12 hours between Bein HaRabayim. And since Bein HaRabayim is half an hour before noon, so therefore the Chatzos Lilo, the half of the night is going to be half an hour before the Chatzos Laila of the astronomical Chatzos Laila. Again, this, we haven't had much time to talk about this, but this allows us to pinpoint, according to Chazal, that Alos HaShachar astronomy happens to fit in precisely with the calculations of Chazal. Chazal says that a person walks 40 mil between dawn break and nightfall. If we take the measurement of 4 mil between before sunrise and 3/4 mil after sunset, and we come to a measurement that sun dawn break will be 81.5 minutes in Eretz Yisrael before sunrise. This is according to the calculation of Chazal. And it happens to be the astronomical dawn break. There's a special word, a special scientific term. It's called the Krefi Scholar. In Eretz Yisrael, in the Yom HaBeinoni, which is what Chazal were talking about, is precisely 81 and a half minutes before Netz. So that's basically on the halakhic day that it actually starts 81.7 minutes before sunrise. It finishes 15 minutes after sunset. The halfway mark will be 33 and a half minutes before noon, and that gives us an astronomical Alos HaShachar dawn break, which fits with Chazal's Alos HaShachar, and it fits with the noon, the Bein HaRabayim of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, aligned in the Kav, where the sun just moves over to the second half of the day.
Sorry. Yeah. The whole thing is based on the fact that you've got a lopsided day, where you've got 4 mil between Alos and Netz, but you've only got like
three quarters of a mil. Exactly.
Why don't you have 4 mil at each end?
Right.
So that was like Rabbeinu.
Right. That's right, Rabbeinu. So
why are you creating a lopsided chatzos? Because you're differentiating between the space in the morning and the gap in the evening.
Right. So this is the halakhic day. That happens to be lopsided. Why is that? Rabbeinu Tam, there are actually two views understanding Rabbeinu Tam. The simple way of understanding Rabbeinu Tam, that it's not lopsided. The day is, just like there's 4 mil in the morning, there's 4 mil in the evening. But there are many, many questions asked on Rabbeinu Tam. Number one, we're told in the Gemara that nightfall is when we see 3 stars. Now, if you wait 4 mil, which is roughly 70 minutes after sunset, you can see tens of thousands of stars. You don't see three stars. But you see three stars, you see actually 15 minutes. And the reason is because Rabbeinu Tam, many, many Rishonim hold this, about 20 Rishonim hold this, that Rabbeinu Tam just said there are two sunsets. He said the second sunset, after the second sunset, there is a period of a quarter of an hour, and then you have nightfall. Everyone understands the first sunset is our sunset, what we see is when the literal sunset which we see, and the second sunset is an hour later. It's actually in Mavu and the Rishonim that the sunset which we see today is actually the second sunset. The first sunset started about 50 minutes earlier. And therefore, the end of the Shkia, the end of nightfall, will actually be at Seisak HaKovim. Why is it? Why is the halachic day lopsided? The Yerushalmi says because it's like when you it's like when the melech goes out. As soon as he starts going out, then it's always considered he's going out. So the day starts when the sun begins to rise. Alos Hashacha is already considered the day because the king's already set. But as soon as the king goes in, it begins to go in, so that's already the conclusion of the day. So although the sun hasn't actually fully set underneath the horizon completely, but since it's begun to set, so the halakhic day is already defined as only a quarter of an hour after sunset.
Oh, very nice. Very interesting. Joyous and fun.